A Sick Thought. Written by Niraj Siki. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Modao Zushu, or The Untamed. Rating Teen. Category Gen. Also tagged for Dark. Crack treated seriously. Suicidal thoughts. Mental instability. Implied or referenced self-harm. Epilepsy. Medical trauma. Canon typical violence. Self-hatred. And emotional and or psychological abuse. Chapter 1. It's not wrong if you write it down, Mo Xuanyu muttered to himself like a mantra as he scribbled down a rough explanation of what he was going to do. If you write it down, it's just an experiment, and that makes it okay. That's what they used to say back at Koi Tower. Not all of them, no. Most people didn't talk to him. Stupid, shy, useless, stuttering bastard that he was. But Jingguang Yao had smiled at him, smiled the way he smiled at everyone, no matter how lowly. And Mo Xuanyu, flattered at the unfamiliar feeling of positive familial attention, had tentatively smiled back. That had been a mistake, of course, but he hadn't realized it at the time. He was still young then. He hadn't been crazy then. Had he? He didn't remember. The screaming nightmares weren't until later, after he'd swallowed down that medicine that Jingguang Yao gave to him, that he'd forced down his throat with Sue Yang holding his shoulders down. They'd been regretful about it. He remembered that. That'd been nice. No one'd ever been sorry about what they'd done to him before. Or after, for that matter. That came later, though. Towards the end. The experiments. That was earlier, wasn't it? Yes, back when Jingguang Yao still thought he might be useful, and he let him follow him around. Back before Sue Yang had disappeared. Wait, if Sue Yang had disappeared, who'd held him down? Back when he still called him Sue Gege, because Sue Yang thought it was funny. And if he did that, he could sit around in a place where no one would find him and watch while Sue Yang did stuff. Usually bad stuff. Still, it was better than being anywhere else in Koi Tower, with Madame Jean who hated him and threw things at him just like Auntie Mo did, and his father who wanted him to talk about girls. Mo Xuanyu didn't know anything about girls. And all the people who giggled at him and talked about him behind their sleeves as if he couldn't still hear them. If you write it down, it's just an experiment, Jingguang Yao told him, smiling. Because he always smiled. That's why what Sue Yang does is okay. Sue Yang taught him the basics of drawing arrays, how to hold the brush in your hand and push spiritual energy into it. Mo Xuanyu didn't have very much, so it made him very tired. And then he dropped the brush. That made Sue Yang laugh at him, push him down until his face was on the ground so he could get a better look at what he was drawing. And then he got bored and pulled him back up to try again. It was still better than being taught by the Jin sect cultivators, who sneered at him and ordered him to get hit with boards any time he made a mistake. And Mo Xuanyu made a lot of mistakes. Mojuan Yu didn't like to talk to people much. Wasn't very good at it. Wasn't much good for anything, really. Except this, he supposed. This was something he could do. Sui Young taught him the basics of drawing arrays, but it was only ever the basics. As soon as he figured out how to do it, Jing Guangyao took over the teaching, and he only ever wanted Mojuan Yu to learn one array in specific. It didn't have a name. It was an ancient, forbidden technique. Those didn't get names. Jing Guangyao found it in a book, hidden on an abandoned old mountain, a place where lots of people died in a battle a long time ago. And then again, not so long ago. And he thought it was just right for Mojuan Yu. The array required blood. Blood of the caster, incisions all over, painful ones. And the point of it was to offer up your body to some extremely villainous ghoul so that it could take revenge for you. But I don't want revenge, he'd told Jing Guangyao, plaintive and naive. And I don't know any villainous ghouls. You don't have to ask for revenge, Jing Guangyao had told him, patient. He was always patient when he wanted something. You can ask for something else, if you want. Revenge is just the usual reason. Not many things besides revenge are worth sacrificing your soul for, Sui Yang had opined, and Jing Guangyao had glared at him like he'd said something stupid. What? It's true. We'll discuss the Chang clan later, Cheng Mei. I was talking to Xuan Yu. Mo Xuan Yu had been poking at the manuscripts, feeling doubtful, and Sui Yang huffed and grabbed them. Don't touch the papers. Wei Wuxian didn't leave much behind. I'm not losing the bit we got. Wei Wuxian, Mo Xuan Yu had said, feeling the weight of it on his tongue. He didn't know much, but even he'd heard about the Yilin patriarch. Is he the villainous ghoul you want me to summon? No, Sui Yang giggled. He wants you to bring back Nie Ming Jui. Mo Xuan Yu hadn't known that name. He really didn't know anything. But the weeks that Jing Guangyao thought that he could one day become him were probably the best in his life. He'd never been petted or coaxed before, never been treated so well. He ate nice food every day, wore nice clothing, slept as late as he liked. Took lots of baths. Jing Guangyao wanted his body to be in good condition before he did the ritual. He gave him lotions to make his skin feel soft, used medicine to nourish his organs, spent hours and hours teaching him to braid his hair the way the Nies did, all complicated and pretty yet practical. He'll hate it so much, Jing Guangyao whispered in his ear on the nights he let Mo Xuan Yu share his pillow. Soft and decadent and weak. You've got the weakest golden core I've ever seen, Xuan Yu. Weaker even than me. And you're too useless to even have any ambition to make it stronger. I could push you down with one hand, overpower you, make you crawl. No one will ever be scared of you. Let's see how much you like being the weak one, Daga. It'd only been when the ritual failed. Not just once, but many times. No matter how many cuts Mo Xuan Yu made on his arms or how well he painted the array, that Jing Guangyao had given up on Mo Xuan Yu. They hadn't been able to figure out why it wasn't working back then. But now Mo Xuan Yu thought that maybe he just hadn't wanted it enough back then. He'd wanted to make Jing Guangyao happy, yes, and he hadn't really cared what it cost to do it. Jing Guangyao's arguments that he was useless and pointless, his life worthless, so he might as well do something useful with his death, were pretty convincing. But he hadn't wanted it. He wanted it now, though. Something worth sacrificing your soul for. It really could only be revenge, couldn't it? Sui Gege knew what he was talking about. Revenge was something you needed, something that ate away at your soul until sacrificing it was the only thing left to be done with it. And that was what was going to make the ritual work this time. Mo Xuanyu was going to get revenge. Revenge on Auntie Mo, on Master Mo, on Mo Ziyuan, on Atong. They deserved it. They hated him. He hated what they did to him and how often they did it. He hated that this was his life and that nothing would ever get better. He hated, hated, hated. You don't have to do this, the young sect leader, surnamed Nie, had told him when they'd had tea for the last time. He'd bought Mo Xuanyu the cosmetics he liked. He'd offered to buy him something nicer, but Mo Xuanyu had his preferences. The expensive stuff didn't feel heavy and greasy on his face, didn't make him feel like he'd painted himself into being somebody else, someone braver. Just so you know. I know, Mo Xuanyu'd said. Sect leader Nie had come to ask him for any information he had about Jing Guangyao. He didn't say why, but Nie. Mo Xuanyu'd thought to himself. Nie like Nie Mingjue. He hadn't been at all expecting to hear the story Mo Xuanyu'd had to tell him. He hadn't been the one to suggest the ritual. That'd been Mo Xuanyu. He hated, hated, hated. But Mo Xuanyu never did learn the name of any of those extremely villainous ghouls. So he'd asked him for a suggestion. He'd suggested Wei Wuxian, and that made Mo Xuanyu giggle to the point of hysterics. Don't touch the papers. Wei Wuxian didn't leave much behind. Oh, Sui Guga, you'd think this was so funny. Gotta write it down, he said to himself as he made the cuts and drew the array. It was already starting to glow in a way it hadn't any of the other times he'd done it. And it wasn't that he'd gotten any stronger. Writing it down makes it okay. He went to get some paper, and that's when the cat came in. A big old fisher cat, vicious and mean. And, well, Jing Guangyao and Sui Yang were always talking about how you're supposed to try stuff out before you do the real thing. Practice makes perfect, that's what they always said. Until the day Jing Guangyao got tired of Sui Yang's practice and made him disappear. And after that, it wasn't all that long until the day he got tired of Mo Xuanyu, too, and made the sect kick him out. They said he was a cut sleeve, which was true, and they said he'd attacked Jing Guangyao, which was laughable. Wasn't Jing Guangyao the one who was always commenting on how weak Mo Xuanyu was? But that was after he drank the medicine that came with the nightmares and the weird spasms and the rest of it. And it wasn't as if anyone in Koi Tower had ever listened to anything he'd said even before that. He wasn't actually going to do anything bad to the cat. He just wanted to use it to make sure he got the markings all done right. It wasn't as if the array would actually work, not without him in the middle. This array ran on resentment, on revenge. And how much resentment could a cat have? Apparently, Mo Xuanyu'd underestimated cats, or possibly his array drawing skills, or maybe even it was only that he'd poured so much hatred into the array that when he put the cat down in the middle to see if the positioning was right, the whole thing exploded in Mo Xuanyu's face. He woke up to Mo Ziyuan kicking him and yelling about how dare he report him to his parents. He hadn't reported anything, just asked for his stuff back. He hadn't even meant to do that because he knew it was pointless. But they'd asked what he was thinking about and it had just slipped out. Well, Atong broke all his stuff, but that was pretty normal, so he didn't think too much about it. The cat leaping for Mo Ziyuan's face, howling something that sounded an awful like the words, "Fuck you!" except sort of halfway into being a cat's meow, was new. Kind of funny, too. Mo Xuanyu giggled and lay back down on the floor while Mo Ziyuan ran out, crying for his mother, with Atong right on his heels as always. The cat made its way back over to him and jumped up on his chest, looking down at him. It was a pretty handsome cat, now that Mo Xuanyu was looking at it. Long and black, with white on its chest, and like little socks on its forepaws. a noble appearance that had been concealed by the messy state of its fur. "I'm sorry I accidentally nearly sacrificed you to a villainous ghoul," Mo Xuan Yu said to it. "Who told you that I'm a villainous ghoul?" the cat said back. "You couldn't find another wandering ghost as harmless as me." Mo Xuan Yu was crazy, yes, but it wasn't that type of crazy. He had fits that sent him down to the floor, limbs thrashing crazily. He had days where he wanted to do nothing but die, screaming nightmares at night and sometimes during the day, hearing and seeing things that weren't there. This was still new. "Did you just talk?" "You bet I talked," the cat said. "Now tell me, how in the world did you manage to offer up the body of a cat? That's not how the ritual's supposed to work." "It was supposed to be my body, Master Cat," Mo Xuan Yu explained. "But they said that you should always try something out first." "First off, you shouldn't be sacrificing yourself either," the cat said. "That's your soul you're talking about. The ritual just says the soul goes back to the earth, but what if it destroys it entirely? You could have been doomed to never reincarnate."
"That sounds restful," Mo Xuan Yu said wistfully.
"You have serious issues. You know that, right?"
"Yes, Master Cat."
"Stop calling me Master Cat. You know my name. You can use it."
Mo Xuan Yu blinked, long and slow. "But I don't know your name. You were just the stray that lived out back behind the grocer."
"I'm Wei Wu Xian. You summoned me here and offered me a body?"
Mo Xuan Yu hadn't realized it worked. "Does that mean you won't help me get revenge?" he asked, disappointed.
"I don't exactly have much of a choice, do I?"
the cat, Wei Wu Xian, huffed.
"That stupid ritual, how many cuts do you have?"
4, Mo Xuan Yu said automatically. Except when he checked, they were about half there, half gone. And after a little bit of investigating, it looked like the other half of them were echoed in appropriately parallel locations on Wei Wuxian's fuzzy feline body.
"Oops.
Oops, he says," Wei Wuxian said. But he already sounded cheerful again.
"Seems like you bound our souls together when you brought me back. Probably because there were too many souls in the center of the array, once you added in the cat. Anyway, don't count me out. 2 legs or 4, I can still help you get revenge. Who won, by the way?"
Mo Xuan Yu tried to explain. He wasn't very good at it, tongue tripping over his words as he tried to put into words why he hated them so much that the idea of killing them had possessed him in every one of his 3 souls and 7 spirits. And it all sounded really stupid when he said it, so he went off on a tangent and explained how his father had wanted to use him, but he was too useless for that, and his half-brother wanted to kill him, but he was too useless for that, and his family just wanted him to die, but...
"Too useless for that," Wei Wuxian said, and his ears were pinned back against his head, with his hackles raised and fur all puffed up all over.
"Yeah, I got the gist. Okay, I'm sold. Let's kill him."
"Really?"
"I'm actually pretty bad at cold-blooded murder, even if the people you want me to kill do sound like scum. Maybe we could just cause them a lot of trouble?"
"A lot of trouble?"
"That seems like a bad idea," Mo Xuan Yu said doubtfully. It was, if only because Mo Xuan Yu was about as terrible at causing disaster as he was at anything else. Wei Wuxian ran off into the main greeting hall and started knocking things around, bellowing unconvincing meows as if he'd never met a cat in his life. And Mo Xuan Yu wanted to die of embarrassment, stuttering apologies at the visiting Lan Sect disciples that looked about as awkward about the whole thing as he was. They tried to get him to deal with the fierce corpse first, sending him out to the back hills and yelling at him to do something. But he'd never been invited to night hunts back at the Jin Sect, so he just stood around uselessly until they'd given up and invited some real cultivators. Auntie Mo was furious, even more so when Mo Ziyuan showed up and started trying to hit Mo Xuan Yu for being a liar, except he wasn't lying. Wei Wuxian had shouted something about theft and robbery, about cutting off someone's hand if they stole from him again, and everyone thought it was Mo Xuanyu doing the yelling, and then he'd had to explain, hadn't he? And eventually the entire thing got to be so stressful that it brought on one of his fits. He woke up not long afterwards, with his head in a Lansek disciple's lap. He was transferring spiritual energy, which was nice of him, but unnecessary. And Wei Wuxian on his chest, frantically licking his cheek and trying to whisper questions of, "Are you okay? Mo Xuanyu, can you hear me?" into his ear. "I'm okay," he said, blinking away the daze. There were broken teacups and wine jars tossed all around. It must have been one of the screaming fits where he threw himself down on the floor and tossed and turned and screamed and sometimes frothed at the mouth. He broke a lot of things during those fits, almost always his own. "Sorry for disturbing you." "I told you he was a lunatic," Auntie Mo said, her voice shrill as always. "Always breaking our things, and then he still complains when Ayuan borrows a little, as if he wouldn't just break it himself anyway. Wretched thing, useless thing. Honored cultivators, please pardon us this embarrassment. Forgive me, we'll take him away at once." Mo Xuanyu flinched, and the Lansect cultivator, who still had his fingers on his pulse, frowned. He was very young, and Lansect, he'd probably never encountered a lunatic before. "No need," he said. "We need to go and get started with setting up the array in the western courtyard. Senior Mo here can show us where it is, can't you?" "I can," Mo Xuanyu said, eager to avoid being locked away again. He scrambled to his feet, not forgetting to scoop up Wei Wuxian, the troublemaker. "Follow me." They said a few more words, reminders not to go outside once the array was set up, and then they followed him, talking quietly. "Why'd you call him Senior, Sichui?" one of the Lansek disciples was asking the other in an undertone. "He's a lunatic." "He's a cultivator," the one that helped him earlier said. "He has a golden core, and he's older than we are. That means he's a senior." "He's got a golden core? No way! He paints his face like he's a hanged ghost."
"Jingyi, what does it matter what he does with his face? It's true. I felt it when I transferred him spiritual energy. Anyway, I didn't want him to get punished just for having a fit. Hey!"
That last exclamation had been because Wei Wuxian had twisted out of Mo Xuanyu's arms and leaped towards the flags they were carrying, snatching one to the ground and rolling around with it.
"I'm sorry, I'm sorry," Mo Xuanyu said, wanting to cry. He didn't have any grudge against these Lansek disciples. Why was Wei Wuxian making trouble for them? "I didn't mean to mess up your flag formation or the
spirit summon flag," Wei Wuxian muttered from his feet, and Mo Xuanyu quickly used a foot to slide him back behind him and pretend he'd been the one to speak, smiling earnestly at them.
"Weak, with a range of no more than 5 li, but serviceable enough. They can go ahead and use it."
"You know about spirit summon flags?" the taller Lansek disciple, the one who'd been called Jingyi, asked, looking surprised. And Lan Sichui elbowed him in the ribs. Mo Xuanyu shrugged helplessly.
"They used them sometimes at the Jin sect," he said, which was true, even though he'd never gotten involved in that sort of thing.
Saying that just made them all look even more surprised, though. Probably at the idea that a lunatic like him had been part of the Jin sect in any way, shape, or form.
"That was back before I went crazy. And you don't have to call me senior. I got kicked out before I learned anything useful."
"You're still a fellow cultivator,"
Lan Sichui said and smiled at him. Mo Xuanyu felt his face go red and he looked away, regretting how easily he showed his emotions. It would probably embarrass Lan Sichui later on when he heard the rumors about Mo Xuanyu's sexual preference. That wasn't the reason he'd blushed. He'd never had any interest in children. It was only that he liked it when people smiled at him.
"I'll be going," he said, and grabbed at Wei Wuxian again,
only to miss and nearly trip before finally managing to pick him up. Good luck with your hunt. I hope it goes well. It did not go well. Mo Ziyuan got himself killed by stealing a spirit summon flag. Mo Zhuanyu and Wei Wuxian both checked their left arm or forepaw at the same time, seeing the cut there heal up before their eyes. Apparently, the curse considered it to be close enough. Maybe because Wei Wuxian had invented the thing. And somehow, Mo Zhuanyu ended up being accused of his murder. And that was before things got really bad. Set up a blocking array at the corner, Wei Wuxian hissed in his ear. I can't, Mo Zhuanyu said, hiding behind a tree. I don't know any arrays. What? Impossible. You did the body offering array. That's extremely difficult, especially for someone of your cultivation level. It's the only one I was ever taught, Mo Zhuanyu explained. And Wei Wuxian's fur suddenly puffed up all over again. Someone is going to die, and not necessarily the Mo family, he said darkly. It might have been more intimidating if Mo Zhuanyu hadn't tied a red ribbon around his throat earlier to try to make the idea of him being someone's pet a little more believable. Whoever did that really only wanted you for one thing, didn't they? I wonder why they wanted me back so badly. Mo Zhuanyu was about to explain that actually Wei Wuxian hadn't been the original target. But then there was more yelling. The Lonsec juniors were very competent, but the ghost hand was terrifying. And Wei Wuxian got distracted, hissing at Mo Zhuanyu to kick Lan Jingyi. He obeyed on instinct, which saved Lan Sichui's life. And then Wei Wuxian was out of his hands again, streaking towards the corpses like a bolt of feline lightning. And suddenly there were three more corpses standing up and fighting against the possessed remains of Auntie Mo. Looks like I can still cultivate, Wei Wuxian said happily, strolling back over and using the tree to leap back up to Mo Zhuanyu's shoulder. I thought I should be able to use your golden core, given the way the curse bound us together. How are we doing on the curse, anyway? Mo Zhuanyu checked. I think that's everyone, actually. I should thank whoever sent the ghost hand. Wei Wuxian was silent for a moment. Huh, you're right, he said. I wasn't thinking about it at first, but those spirit summon flags definitely didn't have enough of a range to summon a ghost hand like that from far away. And we would have heard of a lot more deaths if it had been that close. Someone must have released it near here. Mo Zhuanyu hadn't been thinking along those lines at all. It was only that no matter where he lived, Mo Manor or Koi Tower, there was almost always someone causing bad things to happen. Should we do something to help? He asked hesitantly, watching the battle unfold, and then flinching when there was an unexpected sound. Two strums on a guqin, full of spiritual power. Nope, Wei Wuxian said. In fact, we should leave. Right now. Leave? You can't be planning on staying at Mo Manor now that everyone's dead. Come on, let's go. Hung Wenjun's here. He'll take care of the ghost hand. I wasn't planning anything, Mo Zhuanyu argued, even as he headed towards the exit obediently. I was going to be dead, and the body would be yours, and you could do whatever you liked with it when you were done. Well, we're done, Wei Wuxian said. And you are not dead. You're just going to have to live with that. Live with not being dead? Just accept the glorious wisdom of your elders already, Wei Wuxian said cheerfully. Either way, we should go, as quickly as possible, before anyone notices. Is there anything you need to pack? We should take the donkey in that courtyard. And money, Mo Zhuanyu said practically, heading for Auntie Mo's room first. After all, she was dead and wouldn't need it, and he was the last living heir of the Mo family. It was only reasonable that he take the first pick before anyone else got it. You can always use money, even if you're dead, or a cat. Traveling was a bizarre experience. Mo Zhuanyu hadn't been allowed to go outside of Mo Manor in a few years. Wei Wuxian hissed and spat some very impressive curses on the Mo family name, present company excluded. And even at his time in the Jin sect,
He'd always been taken places by other people. Now, for the first time, he was alone. Well, alone but for Wei Wuxian, who insisted that they had to stay together, curse or no curse, because of how they'd been bound. Mo Zhuanyu suspected the real reason was because he didn't think Mo Zhuanyu could make it by himself, and he was probably right. At any rate, he didn't have anywhere to go, so instead he followed Wei Wuxian's instructions to head towards Dafan Mountain to see if they could find some tombs that Wei Wuxian would be able to use. He still had fits, still wanted to die rather a lot, but he ended up spending so much of his time trying to coax the donkey, dubbed Lil Apple by Wei Wuxian after they figured out that apples were the best and possibly only incentive to get it moving, that he didn't have time to think about it too much. Not being around either Auntie Mo or anyone from the Jin sect helped. Wei Wuxian wasn't too bad. He may have been a villainous ghoul once, but now he was a cat. "Didn't you used to cultivate with a flute?" he asked as they walked along the mountain paths late at night. Well, the donkey walked. Mo Zhuanyu rode the donkey, and Wei Wuxian rode in Mo Zhuanyu's arms. "What are you going to do about that? You can't play the flute anymore. You're a cat."
"Cats are innately musical creatures,"
Wei Wuxian said. His voice had become a lot more human in the past few days, rich and compelling and increasingly lacking the rough meows that had initially interrupted his speech. It was no surprise that someone as talented as him could pick up being a cat faster than Mo Zhuanyu had ever learned to pick up being human. Mo Zhuanyu narrowed his eyes. "That's a lie, right?" Wei Wuxian had been trying to teach him how to distinguish those, but they weren't having very much success with it. "I don't think I've heard a single decent sound out of..."
"Why don't we go see who's making that noise?"
Wei Wuxian said loudly. So they dismounted and went to go look. There were people yelling, caught in a golden net.
"Can you get them down?"
he asked Wei Wuxian, who reached out with his claws to grab a leaf, muttering something that was probably uncomplimentary. And then...
"Oh no!
Why are you hiding behind a tree again?" Wei Wuxian asked him, not keeping especially quiet. "Don't tell me you're hiding from that little Jin sect boy who clearly didn't have a mother to teach him." Mo Zhuanyu dropped him like he was a boiling hot skillet. Like everything he'd ever done on instinct, the move immediately backfired. Wei Wuxian landed on Little Apple's foreleg, claws first, and suddenly Little Apple was braying loud enough to wake the dead, which set Wei Wuxian off yowling and hissing right back at him. "Who's that?" Jin Ling demanded, striding over with an extremely cross expression that suggested he'd heard the bit about mothers. "Who is... Oh, it's you." Mo Zhuanyu weakly lifted up a hand.
It's nice to see you, Jin Ling."
Wei Wuxian's yowls cut off as if he'd been suddenly smothered. Jin Ling glared at him. "Stupid cut sleeve. You think I didn't hear what you said earlier?"
"I didn't,"
Mo Zhuanyu said immediately, starting to shake at once. He couldn't bear it when people in bright yellow were angry at him. Not since those last few days in the Jin sect. It was a surefire way to bring on a fit.
"I swear I didn't. I...
Jin Ling lifted his sword, and Mo Zhuanyu squatted down to cover his head at once, feeling his eyes overflow with blubbering tears as he began to panic.
I didn't, he wailed. "Don't hit me, I don't want to drink any medicine, I don't want to get hit, I didn't do it."
"You..." Jin Ling didn't seem to know what to do. "You're such a coward, you... Damn it!" Mo Zhuanyu had his face hidden away, so he didn't see what Jin Ling did next, braced as he was for a blow. He could vaguely hear the sword being put away, but that didn't diminish his fear in the slightest. The majority of the Jin sect had never been willing to use swords on each other, thinking it disgraceful. Even Jin Guangyao didn't use his sword very much. He preferred other methods. Mo Zhuanyu was most afraid of those other methods. He flinched violently when someone lightly touched his shoulder.
Stop crying. You're making a fool of yourself, Jin Liying said, his harsh voice at odds with the gentle touch of his fingers. Have some thought to your face, okay? You can't embarrass yourself like this. Aren't you my uncle, after all? He's your what? Wei Wuxian's muffled voice came from under a bush. It's true, no matter how you look at it, even if I don't want it to be, Jin Liying said with a sniff, clearly assuming the explanation had come from Mo Chuan Yu. Listen here, what are you doing on Dafan Mountain anyway? Mo Chuan Yu snuffled, wiping his nose with his sleeve. Well, my cat... Night hunting! Wei Wuxian hissed. I mean, I was night hunting, Mo Chuan Yu repeated obediently, then frowned. That's not really believable, is it? Jin Liying looked pityingly at him. Not really. Do you need... Is there something? Those words from earlier were really rude, Wei Wuxian said from the bushes, and Mo Chuan Yu covered his face with his hands. They shouldn't have been said. Yeah, well, whatever. It's not like I haven't heard it all before. Jin Liying, get away from him. A low, cold voice said from behind him. Mo Chuan Yu's shoulders slumped. It wasn't relief so much as it was resignation. If there was one thing he knew, that everyone knew, it was that you didn't cross Jiang Cheng. They said he could smell the stink of demonic cultivation on you, and once he did, that was that. And Mo Chuan Yu was pretty sure, though no one had ever said for sure, that the body offering array was some form of demonic cultivation. They said Jiang Cheng would take demonic cultivators back to the Lotus Pier to be tortured to death. Mo Chuan Yu was almost looking forward to it. Other than the horrible sword flights back and forth to Koi Tower in Lunling, Dafan Mountain was the furthest from home he'd been, and Wei Wuxian had been waxing poetic about the beauties of the Lotus Pier for days now. It would be nice to see it, however briefly, before he died. He'd probably get to see lots of Jiang Cheng, too. He'd only ever caught glimpses of him before when he was visiting Koi Tower, so he'd never had a chance to look his fill. And whatever could be said about the man's temper, it couldn't be denied that he had a first-rate face. Why? Jin Liying asked, not moving. It's only Mo Chuan Yu. Did you ever meet him? He's not him, Jiang Cheng said. And he looked bemused? That wasn't the expression Mo Chuan Yu would have been expecting. It was Wei Wuxian. Wait, the cat? Mo Chuan Yu's mouth dropped open in shock. How did he know? Definitely not, Wei Wuxian blurted out, which didn't seem smart. And suddenly Jiang Cheng looked extremely confused and abruptly sat down. Uncle, what are you talking about? Jin Liying said. Are you okay? No, Jiang Cheng said, a hand to his temple as if he had a headache, or possibly questioning his sanity. It's the cat. I heard that voice. Wei Wuxian wouldn't be sniveling on the ground like a newborn infant, and the only other thing around is... So it must be. Is lunacy contagious or something? Jin Liying demanded. Uncle, I know you've been looking for him for years, but you can't seriously think Wei Wuxian resurrected himself as a cat. Meow? Wei Wuxian said desperately, except it was as awful a meow as it ever been, entirely human. Meow, meow! That voice! Uncle! Shut up! Mo Chuan Yu abruptly yelled, pushed entirely beyond his limits. All of you, just shut up! Stop yelling and stop harassing my cat! With that, he grabbed Wei Wuxian and ran blindly into the woods. He kept running until the air wouldn't enter his lungs anymore, and then he fell down under a tree and burst into tears again, the fear and panic and exercise all escalating uncontrollably, until he fell into another fit, no matter how much Wei Wuxian tried to talk him down. When Mo Xuan Yu woke up, he felt as though he really had gotten beaten up by Jin Liang, even though he knew he hadn't been. "You're awake again. Good," Wei Wuxian said. He was standing on his hind two legs, forepaws behind his back, as he slowly paced a circle. "Those fits of yours, they only started after you went crazy, you said?" Mo Xuan Yu nodded, sat up, rubbing his face. He didn't have a mirror to check, but all those tears must have messed up his makeup. He reached into his pocket and pulled out the case of cosmetics he'd insisted on taking the time to remove from Mo Manor, no matter how much Wei Wuxian had urged him to leave quickly before they were found. "Based on the things you've said, it seems like there was a particular point in time where you went crazy. Enough that you can accurately pinpoint things as being before and after." Mo Xuan Yu nodded again, using his fingers to apply more red paint around his eyes, which were still a little swollen and tender from all the crying. "And you said something when Jin Liang was holding his sword. Damn it, that was Sui Ha. I should have recognized it at once. Anyway, you said something about not wanting to drink medicine?" Wei Wuxian certainly fixated on the strangest things, Mo Xuan Yu reflected. Maybe lunacy really was contagious. "Someone poisoned you," Wei Wuxian concluded. He still had the red ribbon around his neck. In combination with the way he was just barely maintaining his upright balance and the way his tail was lashing around, it was rather cute. If it took place in the Jin sect, it was probably something with quicksilver, since they use it to make vermilion. It damages the brain and liver if consumed in high enough quantities, and it's associated with epilepsy, hallucinations, and terrible nightmares. It's been used since ancient times to make men into fools. Mo Xuan Yu nodded politely, mostly disinterested. It wasn't as if he didn't know who was behind it, and it didn't really matter what exactly was involved. If anything, the medicine could almost be seen as Jin Guangyao's way of being nice. He could have had Mo Xuan Yu disappear the way he did for Sui Yang, or he could have fed him to Sui Yang's fierce corpses, or even just slit his throat. At least by going mad, Mo Xuan Yu would still be useful to Jin Guangyao, a vivid demonstration that any madness in their bloodline must have come from their shared father's side, not the mother. He wasn't sure why Jin Guangyao cared about that, but at least he wasn't dead. No, wait, didn't he want to be dead? His half-brother was so confusing sometimes. Maybe sending Mo Xuan Yu back to Mo Manor, back to Auntie Mo and all the others that Jin Guangyao knew Mo Xuan Yu feared, maybe it was supposed to teach him how to hate enough so that he could make the ritual work. If so, Mo Xuan Yu'd probably disappointed Jin Guangyao all over again. "Some ways to at least ease the symptoms? Maybe more if we can find a good enough doctor." Wei Wuxian was still talking for some reason. "At least you have your golden core. If you were a regular person, there wouldn't be any hope at all." "Hope is overrated," Mo Xuan Yu said. "It just makes it worse when you're inevitably disappointed and then you die, if you're lucky." Sui Gege had taught him that one, and he was pretty sure he'd quoted it correctly. But Wei Wuxian didn't look particularly impressed. "I've heard that quicksilver poisoning can cause qi deviation, which is associated with suicidal urges," Wei Wuxian said, dropping to all four legs and then hopping onto his shoulder. "Let me try to stabilize your qi. Maybe it'll keep you from saying things like that all the time. Go on, get up and stretch your legs a bit. They're probably sore from all the running and thrashing you were doing." Mo Xuan Yu walked all right. Walked right into a confrontation with a stone goddess, which was honestly just how this day was going. Wei Wuxian really needed to stop being so surprised when bad things happened. "Can you play the flute?" Wei Wuxian hissed into his ear. All thoughts of qi stabilization forgotten. "I need to summon something powerful, and yowling, while surprisingly effective, isn't going to cut it." "I can play the ditsa," Mo Xuan Yu offered, "but I'm not good at it, and anyway, we don't have..." "Good enough. Grab that piece of bamboo and give it to me. I can use my claws to make the holes, and you can follow the tune that I show you." Wei Wuxian meowed and Mo Xuanyu played, and Wei Wuxian's ears went flat backwards in apparent agony. "Whoever taught you should be tortured to death," he said briefly before resuming his guidance, focusing in on whatever demonic cultivation technique he was doing. It made the ghost general appear, so Mo Xuanyu assumed it was successful, though Wei Wuxian's shocked muttering suggested something had gone wrong regardless. Again, not much of a surprise. One thing led to another, and then a tall man in Lonsect White showed up with the juniors from Mo Manor, along with Jiang Cheng and Jin Ling. And at that point, Mo Xuanyu decided that some of this bad luck had to be Wei Wuxian's, because even the worst of his bad days usually weren't this bad. Wei Wuxian panicked when they bumped into the tall man. Han Guanjun, apparently. Mo Xuanyu vaguely recalled hearing about him, but he'd never come to Koi Tower while Mo Xuanyu had been there. And it was very uncomfortable to have a panicking cat on his shoulder, especially when he was still trying to remember enough flute playing to follow along with the tune Wei Wuxian was meowing. Something more relaxing to try to calm down the ghost general.
"Wei Ying,"
Han Guanjun said, staring at the cat. Mo Xuanyu stopped playing and turned his head to stare at Wei Wuxian. "How are you this obvious?" he asked. "This is not my fault," Wei Wuxian exclaimed, aggravated. "I'm a cat. Nobody should be blaming me."
"I think I'm losing my mind,"
Jiang Cheng, located somewhere further away on the field, said, his voice sounding strangled.
"I really do swear I just heard."
"That was me," Mo Xuanyu said. "Totally me. I picked up ventriloquism to better process the auditory hallucinations. I'm very sick and also a lunatic. You can just ignore me." Nobody seemed especially convinced.
"Sect leader Jiang,"
Han Guanjun said after a while.
"There are very good healers dedicated to calming of the mind at the Cloud Recesses. I can take young Master Mo and his cat with me to see them, which I think will be beneficial to everyone involved."
"Fine," Jiang Cheng said, "but I'm coming too. I think I need it." Han Guanjun frowned for a moment, and the two of them stared at each other for a long time, unspoken emotions crackling in the air between them. Finally, he nodded.
"Very well."
"You know, I don't think we've agreed to," Wei Wuxian started to say, but Mo Xuanyu stuffed his fingers over his little snout. Han Guanjun was the second master of the Lan sect, which meant Zhou Jun was his brother, and Zhou Jun was Jin Guangyao's friend, and you didn't go against what Jin Guangyao wanted, not if you knew what was good for you. Mo Xuanyu might be stupid, but even he could figure something out after it hurt enough. "It's fine," he said. "We'll go with you for a little, but you have to promise to let us go afterwards. You have to promise, you hear me? I don't want to be locked away again." Han Guanjun had a strange expression on his face, which was about the same as the expression on Jiang Cheng's face and Jin Liang's and all the Lan juniors. Had Mo Xuanyu said something wrong?
"Your freedom and safety will be assured,"
Han Guanjun said. "And my cats." Jiang Cheng put his hand on his forehead, looking pained.
"And your cat,"
Han Guanjun agreed peaceably, and turned and started to lead the way. Mo Xuanyu and all the others followed behind. "Fine," Wei Wuxian muttered in Mo Xuanyu's ear, once the others were far enough ahead not to immediately overhear. "We can go with Lan Chan back to Gusu one time. They really do have good healers there anyway. But I want to talk to him about the ghost hand. Someone released it right next to Mo Manor. Probably the same person who wanted me back so badly he taught you how to do the body offering array. And I want to have words with that person." Mo Xuanyu was a little confused. Was it sect leader Nie he wanted to talk to, or Jin Guangyao? And why was Wei Wuxian so angry at them? They were both so nice, at least some of the time. Better not to ask. "You should get some Emperor's Smile when you get to Gusu," Wei Wuxian added. "I don't drink," Mo Xuanyu objected. For me. Cats don't drink. I'm not planning on being a cat forever, Wei Wuxian said. And won't that be a surprise to everyone? Mo Xuanyu thought about it. No, he said after a moment. I really don't think it will be, actually.